Everybody, welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm your host, Jace. Create your own spotlight today. We're going to talk about a campaign that's on its second return to Kickstarter here for issues 2 and 3. Some of you may, if you're big comic people, especially on the collecting side, you may recognize the face in the other little window there. It's my pleasure to welcome Swagahoss to the show.
Hey, Jace, how's it going? Thanks so much for having me on the show. Excited to talk to you.
I'm super excited too, man. Everybody, so you got to go and join this campaign right now. It's already funded. You know, you're going to get the books, but here's what I'm going to remind you. Even myself, who's, you know, I back a lot of Kickstarters, whatever. I knew I wanted Mickey's first, comic, and yet somehow I still missed it. So he was nice enough to send me a digital copy so I could read it. And now we're going to talk about the campaign for issues 2 and 3. But after reading issue 1, I'm even more excited to read issue 2 and 3. So, don't miss, even if you need to pause this right now and go, there's a link in the show notes, go to the campaign, check it out, pledge, and then come back and listen to what Mickey has to say about it. So all that being said, why don't you let our listeners know, give us the elevator pitch. What is Sanity, Rise of the Occult all about?
Yeah, sure. Well, Sanity is, as I call it, a Lovecraftian pulp adventure. You know, it's my way to kind of bring it back to sort of the roots of comic books. You know, comic books kind of were birthed out of those pulp vintage stories and kind of merged into, you know, the detective comics. I mean, when we think of DC Comics, it literally stands for Detective Comics, because back in the 30s, that's what we got. We got a lot of stories of, you know, the hard-boiled detective going, you know, investigating the mysterious murder case. And often there were times of kind of weird, strange, supernatural happening. So this comic series here is kind of a return to that. It picks up with our character, Robert Grant, who is confronted by a famous Hollywood socialite actress who hires him to investigate the mysterious disappearance of her. We'll call him a playboy business brother. And Robert kind of picks up the case and he kind of goes into the rabbit hole of mysterious, odd, occulty things that pop up in this kind of world. So that's kind of the initial hook into our story.
Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how it ties in with your love of comics a little more, and we'll touch on the story a little more as well. We're not going to be spoilery, everybody. So you gotta join the campaign, and you can get issue 1, which is what I'm doing with issues 2 and 3 in this campaign. But before we get there, what I want to start off with, Mickey, is talking about the art. The art in this thing is so incredible. When you're talking about that Lovecraftian, really the fear of the unknown. And, you know, monsters with giant teeth or tentacles or what have you, you got to set the tone, but yet you could take it too far. So many times, as you know, horror comics, they tend to be colored darker. The art can look muddy. You got a fantastic artist on this. And it doesn't just even look like, it's not like super clean lines. There's a texture, there's a grittiness to it, but not in the way you see like in a DC Gotham City type comic. It is really kind of unique and all on its own. It just has almost this old-fashioned feel. So talk a little bit about your artist and maybe was there back and forth to kind of set that tone?
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that. The interior lines are done by an artist. His name is Santiago Espina. And when I initially started with the project, obviously, there's a lot of material that's Lovecraft. You know, the people have dived in the space before, from video games to comics, to books, to all sorts of different media. And to your point, I think that there is a lot of Lovecraft stuff that often veers into the very, very dark, very, you know, creepy, moody style or gory style. And I think that that's great. You know, that's super fun. But I often very much enjoy still kind of the adventure aspect of it as well. So I was trying to find that balance, and coming from my background, if people know me from my YouTube channel, which I have a YouTube channel where I talk a lot about comic book collecting, and you look at those sort of vintage covers from the 30s and 40s and stuff, and the colors are very bright. You know, it's we're kind of in these creepy tombs and apothecaries and things like that, but the colors are very, very bright, and so it's kind of this fun juxtaposition. And so I kind of wanted to hit that in some sort of way. So Santiago did the interior artwork. I had a writer friend who had worked with him previously. I think that he just has such an amazing style, and he brings a grittiness to it that I thought would be cool to kind of give, you know, the story a unique spin. And then we wanted to bring in the colors with my colorist, whose name is Maxim Strelkov, and add in a little bit of pop there so that there's that, I want to call it maybe approachableness to it. Yeah. But it still has like a dark tone, but it feels familiar and somewhat inviting. So those were the things that we're trying to go for.
And did the art team, did they get it right away, or was it kind of a little bit of a back and forth in the beginning to get that tone exactly how you wanted?
I think Santiago got it right away. You know, I think for me, it was clear that when I saw his work, I was like, okay, yeah, like you just do your thing, you know, and I'm trying to work with him in a capacity that it's like, I'm giving you guidance as far as, you know, what the panels can be and stuff. But you know, I want you to have your own sort of artistic spin on it. I think with Maxim, it took us a little bit. We had references. We put some stuff together. I wasn't sure if he was super in tune to like the vintage comic books that I always talk about. So I sent him a bunch of covers and I was like, oh, check these out. Like, look at this, look at this. And then we kind of played with a couple looks. And then once he got it, it was sort of like, okay, cool. I understand the color palette now.
Fantastic. Well, you mentioned your channel, everybody, and I definitely recommend checking it out, especially if you're on the collecting side of things, slabs and, you know, GPA prices and that sort of thing. Swagglehouse Comics. So from there to becoming a creator, right? Because your channel is so different. Well, one of the things I love about the industry, right? You can be like, I'm totally on the reviewing story side and talking to creators and what have you. You're more on the collecting side, both perfectly valid. I mean, I'm a collector too, although I tend not to have too many slabs because I just don't want to open that rabbit hole. But talk to us about the kind of the itch to tell your own story. Because although you have this collecting channel, this YouTube channel and content you create about collecting, you've really been a storyteller at heart for a long, long time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of a funny story with how everything came about. Without going, you know, too long into it, my background is, you know, I'm Los Angeles based. I work in film and television. I do directing, and I've done screenwriting, and I've written for a lot of video games and animation and things like that. But when COVID happened and we were locked down and nobody had anything going on, I decided to make a YouTube channel about comic book collecting because it's just a passion of mine. And I started talking about it, and you know, the channel kind of got a little bit of traction. And I sort of was, you know, as we are with when you make content and podcasts or YouTube, you just put yourself on the treadmill and then it just, you know, keeps going forever. So that's kind of where I am with it now. And you know, it is funny because, you know, you go to like a comic con or you go to some kind of floor and it is sort of segmented. It's like one end of the building is like vintage collecting and one end of the building is Artist Alley. And for me, even though I spend most of the time talking about vintage collecting and stuff, I thought that maybe with my channel, maybe there's an opportunity here to do a bucket list thing and kind of bring in my like storytelling creative work and actually get to do something that I've always wanted to do, which is write a comic book series. So it was really sort of just putting pen to paper after that and building up this Kickstarter and trying to see if, you know, the vintage collecting supporters of mine would be interested in a new comic book series, which is kind of why I decided that this genre might be the one that they would be most interested in.
Yeah. And by all accounts, I mean, the first campaign was very, very successful. So I'll remind everybody, yeah, go and check it out. You know, just take a couple minutes and maybe this sounds like it's right up your alley. You would love to join. You'd love to be able to go back and even get issue one if you missed it, but you just don't have the means right now. Like we get it, right? Money's tight for some people. Everything seems like it costs more these days. So, you know, unfortunately, if you're not able to join, completely understand. The other way you can help out Mickey and this art team, if you're not able to join the campaign and become part of this community, is just share it online, right? Put it out there on your social media, let your local comic shop know about it and that sort of thing. So anybody that does want to check it out has the opportunity. Because like I said, worst thing is after the campaign, you know, you find out something you wanted after the campaign is over. And, you know, the first issue, there was an amazing Sean Chen cover, and that one sold out. So again, you want to get there, not only join, but get what you want while it's still available. So what are some of the rewards, Mickey? Let's kind of go through, and if you have any stretch goals in mind and that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. This campaign for in particular is for issues 2 and 3. So I tried to keep the tiers as clear as possible as I could. So you have, you know, your basic tier, which is, hey, you want both issues, and they're all coming together. So I didn't want to parse it out. So you get, there's that tier, the first one for the two. I do have variant covers, and I try to do them in a way that I like variant covers, where it's, they're just different. So it's like pick your kind of your poison in that sense. So the one tier of variant covers is sort of more of a modern take. You have Ivan Tao, who, if you guys are, you know, familiar with kind of modern variants, he's a tremendous, tremendous variant cover artist. He does a lot of Marvel and DC and does just great superhero poses. And then there's another variant that was done by Jenna Cha. And Jenna Cha actually had a comic series last year that was called The Sickness, that came kind of out of nowhere, and it really, really blew up. Everybody was talking about it. And she just does this very, very beautiful, eerie style of work. So I have that. And then another sort of vintage variant cover tier is one done by an artist named Lucas Kettner. And he's doing variants that are EC homages. If you guys know your EC titles, like the Tales from the Crypts and the Vaults of Horrors and those types of classic books, you know, this is our homage to those. And they're really fun, and people definitely love them. And he's a tremendous artist. He's got a series with Image, I believe it's called Count Crowley, currently going on right now. And he just does incredible work. And then after those tiers, there's some larger ones that are like shout out to be in the book. I work with a lot of retailers. So there's kind of like a retail tier if you want to like sponsor in some kind of way. And then one of the cool things is, you know, we're in the collecting space. I know there's a lot of original art collectors. Santiago was kind enough to let me purchase his artwork for him so that I can offer it in the Kickstarter. So, you know, we also have like artwork from the comic itself, if people would like to pick it up and buy it. And similarly, there's a we did a key art oil painting that's done by an artist. His name is Jarrell Thread. He does a lot of Magic the Gathering cards. And, you know, Jace, we've had that conversation about the whole Magic the Gathering card art world too. That whole machine that exists behind it. So that's up for sale as well. So, you know, it's just trying to offer tiers that it's like, hey, you want the book, get the book, you want the variants, get the variants. And then if you want to buy some art, that's there too. So those are kind of the tiers.
Yeah. And a quick reminder, everybody, it is already fully funded. So it's one of those situations where, you know, when you pledge, you're going to get the book. It's not kind of a wait and see thing. So if you're still on the fence, I do want to talk a little bit more about character and story, but we're not going to spoil everybody because we do want you to check it out for yourself. You want to experience this story for yourself. And I want to start off, Mickey, by talking a little bit about the main character, this PI, this kind of hard boiled, jaded guy, Robert Grant, who definitely has an there's like a animosity between him and the New York Police Department. They make fun of him. Hey, you couldn't really cut it as a cop, whatever. And his outlook on the world, it feels a little more modern in a way. He seems like he's jaded, like a lot of those, you know, old gumshoe detectives are, but in a way, because he knows things should be better and could be better. So talk a little bit about developing him. And I'm also curious, how much of that is your outlook? How much of you is in Grant?
You know, I do have to say that I think as writers, you know, it's hard to not put a piece of you in a lot of your characters. I mean, while I think Robert is a great character, he's very cool, and I enjoy writing him. You know, I can't say that I have the what would you call it, the gumption to sort of say, to talk back to the police in the way that he kind of does and things like that. But yeah, for me, it was, you know, again, trying to nail the tone that feels very familiar, but keeps it still a little bit fresh, which is, you know, we sort of have these archetypes, and, you know, in a way we kind of know what the kind of classic detective is. And I wanted to start from that place, you know, and kind of see, okay, who is this person, but then kind of give it a little bit of a spin. I mean, I like to have fun on my channel, and I think Robert sort of sees the world in through the lens of a very dry and sort of kind of cynical sense of humor. You know, he's very distrusting. I think he probably works in a field in a space of private investigation that is has made him see some of the dark sides of the worlds and people and that sort of thing. But he still, you know, has a glimmer of optimism and hope that he can sort of make a difference. And you know, I think for him, he values like the idea, the ideals, and you know, there's a scene with him at the beginning of the book where he's kind of like calling out the newspaper headlines and stuff, and this idea of sensationalism and the quest for truth and all this. And you know, that's a theme that I try to put in there, just because, you know, we're diving into the cosmic horror space. And I think that, you know, with cosmic horror, it's the fear of the unknown and subject reality, you know, subjective versus objective. How can you really know and stuff? And I think that's sort of fertile ground for, you know, a detective or a PI, I should say, whose job it is to investigate truth, right? Is to find out what is real, you know? And so I think that that's where his worldview ideally will be challenged in the series as he comes to, you know, have an idea of what he thinks is true and a healthy sense of skepticism of what the lies that are being told of him, you know, and he finds out maybe things that he can't quite grasp. I think he has to wrestle with those thoughts. So yeah, I think that was kind of my thought process of giving him some character.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that challenge, right? Like, he's all about the truth, and we see toward the end of the first issue that, yeah, his worldview, what he thinks is real and not real, it, you know, completely flipped on its head, and you know, where this goes from here is what I'm most excited to find out about issue 2 and 3. And you also mentioned previously this sense of adventure, right? So Lovecraftian horror, yes, a hard-boiled detective story. But also the, you know, that idea of the kind of the afternoon serials, you know, with the cliffhangers and just that sense of adventure. And I think, like, if you're not familiar with any of that, everybody, like, something that really, I think a property that or an IP that really captures that feel that everybody's familiar with for the most part is Indiana Jones, right? Like, it's that real sense of adventure and kind of throwback and what have you. So obviously this is very different than Indiana Jones, but just in terms of sense of adventure and sense of pulpy and cliffhangers and what have you, was that an inspiration at all? Because I got a little bit of indie from Robert Grant.
It was 100% inspiration, for sure. Definitely. You know, well, what's interesting about that is, I think if you've ever heard George Lucas talk about Indiana Jones, you know, for him, Indiana Jones is a throwback to pulp hero serialized storytelling like Buck Rogers and all that sort of stuff. And so he's pulling from the same, you know, references that, you know, my channel where we talk about vintage comic book collecting. I mean, if you guys remember, like, all those, like, think about those characters back in the day, like the Shadow or like the Phantom, and you have like, you know, all those types of the pulp hero, right? Where they kind of go on the adventure and stuff. And so that's kind of what Indiana Jones became, you know, later on. It was really taking those hero archetypes and applying it to movies and stuff. So, yeah, it's sort of this that was inspired by that, which is inspiring me to do this, you know, sort of a whole thing. So, yeah, I mean, and I'm glad you got that tone, because that was the goal, you know, to sort of get the best parts of that and make it feel familiar to that, and hopefully, you know, execute if I can on those things.
Yeah, and it kind of makes me think too. I mean, Indiana Jones, we're talking about feature films. I think Sanity would make for a great live action. So, you know, maybe from my lips to God's ears, I'm sure you wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, definitely.
On that note, would you have somebody in mind if we're talking dream casting to play Grant? Anybody come to mind?
Oh man. You know who's just doing it so well right now with the dry humor but serious is like Ryan Gosling. Well, what's that movie right now? The stunt man.
Yeah,
Fall Guy. You know, just the the dryness, I think, of Ryan. I mean, maybe he's a little too comedy, and maybe I'm just a big fan of Ryan Gosling, you know, but he's the one that popped in my head immediately.
So the guy that popped into my head, even as I was reading it, was Guy Pearce. I think Guy Pearce would
be
fantastic. And he's gotten done that role before. So I think, I think he could nail it. Well, I mentioned before kind of that moment toward the end of issue one where Grant's, worldview is sort of challenged. That's really, for me, the moment in issue one. Is there a moment in issue two or issue three, or maybe one from each? Again, we don't want to spoil, but that you can't wait for the readers and the backers to experience and reach out and see what people have to say. Anything come to mind?
I certainly hope so. Yeah, I certainly hope there's going to be that moment. There is. I mean, again, I brand the book as Lovecraftian, and while we, the reader, go into it at reading Grant and knowing that he's got like a skepticism of what's really going on and all this, we can assume that, if this is going to be a Lovecraftian thing, we're going to get some Lovecraftian elements in this. So he's really going to be met with something that is undeniable. Well, I'll put it at that is undeniable as to putting a wrench into any sort of what do you say thought that this is some kind of PR stunt by Catherine or whatever. So he's going to have that moment, and then that to me sort of represents like, okay, well, this is his full turn of like, okay, now that he knows this, like, well, what does he want to decide to do with that, right? Because it's like, on the one hand, you're just a PI. This is just a case for you. And then all of a sudden it gets a lot bigger. And it's like, you have to decide, okay, like, I guess like all pulp heroes, like, how far do you want to go with it?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, for anybody that's going to join the campaign, is this the end? Is it three issues? Are we going to see more?
So I've written through six, meaning that's where I want to take it. That was to me, was the first kind of story arc that I wanted to hit. You know, this was something that birthed out of my YouTube channel, and I was like, all right, let's, roll the dice and see if there's any interest here. And luckily, because it got funded and there's interest, it's like, okay, great. Like, let's keep it going, So we're definitely going to get through six. We're going to complete the little first story arc. I definitely have aspirations of where I would want to take it all. I have outlines and thoughts and stuff like that of where it could go next. But this campaign will be for two and three. And, we're already working on four through six, and so we'll get those done. And then we'll see what happens from there.
Yeah, I mean, Grant's such a great character. And obviously that he's a PI, it's just, okay, here we go. Here's the next case. Fantastic. But I could also see with the success of the first one, this one's already funded as well. I could also see you going, okay, now I've done this era. Maybe I want to do a traditional superhero, or maybe I want to do Monster Hunter in the 70s or that sort of thing. So I'm sure, with your background in storytelling, film, TV, animation, what have you, there's plenty of stories in there for more comics in the future, hopefully, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I definitely have ideas. I'm trying to not bite off more than I can chew, but I can't help myself. There's a lot of stuff going on in my head.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, again, everybody, link in the show notes. You can go and check it out. Also, Mickey, why don't you let everybody know? We've talked a little bit about your YouTube channel. Let people know where they can find you online, where they can go check out your channel. Maybe give us a little bit of what the channel's about. We've kind of touched on it, but get a little bit more into it here.
Sure. Yeah. So I have a YouTube channel. It's called Swaggle Hoss. I'll assume that Jace will have it somewhere in the description you guys can learn the spelling, but, on my YouTube channel, I cover a lot of vintage comic collecting, a lot of secondary market type of happenings, anytime we have record sales or there's a comic book that sets new prices, I'm usually on the case to talk about that type of stuff. And I like kind of covering the vintage market, and then it often delves into, pop cultural touch points and things. I mean, if you guys don't know about collecting, anytime you get a trailer for a Deadpool movie, certainly there's going to be activity, with Deadpool comic books and stuff. And so I kind of, explain what's sort of going on for people who are interested in that side of the comic collecting market. So I'm on YouTube. It's Swaggle Hoss. And then I have an Instagram as well, swagglehoss_comics. And then I got my Kickstarter going on. So those are kind of the best places to find me as far as anything comic book related.
Yeah, one of the other things I love about your channel is you really talk trends too, not just snapshot in time, but certainly you mentioned the pandemic earlier when everything went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of went the opposite. Like last time we had a like a big downturn in the economy or what have you, prices on collectibles dropped, and that's sort of what I expected. So I was like, I'm gonna rebuild my Amazing Spider-Man collection, and I did it, but it cost like way more than I thought it was going to. But you do talk trends, and it's just not just your opinion. One of the things I love that you do when you're at cons is you go around and talk to retailers and get their perspective. So it really comes from the horse's mouth, right?
I try to. I mean, it's I can only talk so much and listen to my own voice. It's like, let's get some other perspectives on this channel and get their thoughts. So I try to get retailers and other business industry people on the channel when I can.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I recommend it, everybody. Again, link in the show notes. You can go and check it out. I'll put a link to the Instagram as well, and obviously the Kickstarter. So I really appreciate it, Mickey. Great to meet you in person at WonderCon last weekend, and congrats on funding your second campaign here. As we're winding down, anything else you want to let the viewers and listeners know?
No, I just let me just say, Jace, thank you again so much for inviting me on your channel. I mean, you've had a tremendous podcast that, even I've been able to follow for many years now. I think
Yeah.
you've been doing it. So, I feel honored that you would have me on and share, what I got going on the channel. So I really, really appreciate it. And, thank you to all the listeners out there who, have supported Jace in my project. So I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, and I'll add my thanks to Mickey. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Appreciate the support as always. Yeah, if you follow me and you're into the story and review and whatever, and you're curious to learn about collecting and slabs and pricing and that sort of thing, yeah, I can't recommend Swagglehoss more. It's just really, really informative. So definitely go and check it out. Well, I think that's going to do it, everybody. We appreciate it as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.